Hello, everyone. This is Victor Jackson. Welcome to the Bible Centered Podcast. Welcome to another episode of Bible Centered with Victor Jackson. I want to thank you for joining, and I want to thank every one of you for listening. I also want to thank our subscribers, those that have subscribed through Apple or through Spotify to get the exclusive content. I want to thank you for that. And those that went to pre-order the book, A Word to the Abused, thank you. Thank you for purchasing that. A Word to the Abused will release on May 24th. We have been going verse by verse through the Gospel of Matthew, and because this is narrative literature, that is a feat in itself, because there are scriptures that you will not understand without context. And so we provide context to what is being read. Matthew is writing to the Jews to persuade them that Jesus is the Christ. And we see a lengthy rebuke in Matthew chapter 23, and I was going to try to go through the whole chapter but this is a lot of rebuke, and so I think there's only so much rebuke that someone could handle for a day, so we're just going to have to split it up into two lessons. But let's go into Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. For those of you that have subscribed, you got the lesson on the importance of theology and the distinction of the church and the world, and how people come to church to hear about what God wants, what God demands. Matthew chapter 23, verse 1, here it is. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works. For they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at the feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all of ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctified the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. Whosoever shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sware by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Ah, lengthy rebuke. It's amazing that Jesus has a responsibility as a prophet to condemn unrighteous and even unbiblical practices. He is calling Israel back to their first works, back to their first fruits, and he is exposing how far they have drifted from their original intentions. That there was a drastic drift into the original intention of the law of Moses, of the law and the prophets, and the synagogue had become something of an exaltation of flesh instead of glorifying God and getting into the depths of who God is. These, you hear in Jesus' voice the anger and even the grief and sorrow in having to rebuke these leaders who have drifted. Remember, Matthew's writing to the Jews to persuade them that Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus is the example of a pure devotion. He's trying to call this system back to why it started. It was all about the word. It was all about the presence. It was all about purity. But somehow it began to change into the exaltation of flesh. The Bible says that he speaks to the multitude and to the disciples saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. What he's saying here is, the scribe and the Pharisees, number one, they do have authority. Through different recent archaeological discoveries, they have found that there was literally a seat in the synagogue that they called Moses' seat, where they would interpret the law of Moses. And so Jesus is referencing that seat of authority. He says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. What he's saying here is that whatever they're telling you to do from the law of Moses, the word, do, observe and do. He said, but please do not do after their works, because they say and they do not. They make it very difficult for everyone else, but they themselves do not listen to their own words. They put heavy burdens on others, but they won't move them with one of their fingers. And what he's speaking to is the corruption that was in the synagogue, that there was exceptions to holiness, or exceptions to the laws of God, that they would put the laws of God and extra biblical traditions on people, but that they themselves would not live out. And that is damaging. That is damaging. That is damaging behavior, because it makes people lose trust in God's word whenever those with the authority to give God's word, those with the authority to give God's word, that are not living it, and yet you expect other people to live it. This is the quickest way for God to really take his presence from an individual or take his presence from a system. Whenever the leaders are saying the right things but not doing the right things. And it is the responsibility of every leader to to live this thing out as we live under the text, because people are not just listening, but they're watching. And that is important. As Paul said, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, being made free from sin and a servant to righteousness. And this word form, the Greek word is typos, which literally means to type, is where you get the word type. It means to strike repeatedly. He said, you saw the type. You saw the typos. You saw a repeated repetition of the word. We didn't just give you the word. You saw the word in our lives. That we didn't just give you the word, as he told the church in Thessalonica. We imparted you the word, and we imparted unto you our own lives, meaning that giving the word and letting it get in the spirit is more than just saying it, but living it. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were losing credibility because they said and they did not do. Now, what Jesus tells these disciples in the multitude is like, just because they're not doing it, does it mean that exempts you from doing it? And so he's saying, listen, what they're telling you, observe and do, but do not do after their works. By all their works, they do for to be seen of men. Now he gets to the heart of it, that devotion was supposed to be between man and God, that it was supposed to be between God and man, that this was supposed to be this sacred reverence of relationship. But he said now it turned into something different. Now it's to be seen of men. It's not to give devotion to God, but it's how do I look while I'm giving devotion to God? And we see Jesus rebuking this behavior. This can happen not only in this time, but it can happen to us today, where it becomes about the spotlights and the platforms and how we are seen doing God's work, instead of actually the fulfillment that comes in doing God's work, even when it's not seen. They make broad their phylacteries. These were scriptures that they had on their forearm and boxes. And you see Jews still have this today. They were making it big so they could make it noticeable. They enlarged the borders of their garments. This is the tefillin. This is commandments from the law that they were making these tefillin long so it could be noticeable. And they were showing their righteousness by these things. They loved the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue. They want to sit in the best places. See, where is God in this? Where is God in this? They like the greetings in the market. They like when people call them rabbi. So they're getting fulfillment off of titles, off of nice clothes, off of nice platforms. But where is the glory of God in all of this? They had lost it. And he even tells them, don't be called rabbi, for one's your master, even Christ, and all of you are brethren. Don't let anyone call you father, because one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even Christ, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Now, he's not rebuking someone calling someone a pastor or anything like that, or a teacher, or even, you know, to your earthly father as a father. But he's saying is, don't let that develop a pride in you, because all of us answer to Christ. He is our master. And we should never pride our position so much that we put ourselves into the place of God. And I've seen that happen many times, where people love their titles and positions, and that not only do they love their titles and positions, but they'll even exalt themselves so much until they're exalting themselves into God's throne room. He's saying that ministry ought to be that the greatest among you shall be your servant, that whoever is the greatest has a responsibility to serve. Everything in the kingdom is upside down. If you want to save your life, you have to lose it. If you lose your life, you'll find it. Everything's upside down. If you want to be the greatest, you must be servant of all. Everything is different in kingdom. And when you start bringing, flesh has a tendency to bring to bring flesh into kingdom. And he even said it before. He said the Gentiles love to be lords over you. He said, but don't be like the Gentiles. He that's greatest, be your servant. We have to stay with an atmosphere of servanthood, because that is an attraction for the glory of God. He's rebuking them, because these are surefire characteristics to have a religious ritual without the presence of God. These are the traits of having a church without God. I don't know about you, but I can't have church without God. See, it's all about him. It cannot be about the newest clothing we have. It cannot be about sitting in the best seat in the church or sitting on the platform. It cannot be about what our titles or what our positions are. It has to be, number one, that there is one master, that there is one rabbi, that there is one father, that is Christ. Okay? And we have the awesome opportunity and privilege to serve him in these capacities. But we have to remain as servants. Everyone say servants. Whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Humility. You can, the byproduct of humility is going to be godly exaltation. Now, I've said it before, do not make humility a destination. Humility is an attitude. You can be humble with $1 billion. You can be humble with 100 churches. You can be humble with all of these things. You can be humble. But don't make humility a destination. When you make humility a destination, like we say, humble beginnings, well, there's humble endings as well. I mean, and so we can't make humility a destination. It must be a repetitive attitude, because one of the byproducts of humility, if you are humble, he will exalt you. But some people have made exaltation as pride. But exaltation is not pride. It's the source of the exaltation that can make it pride. If the source of exaltation is the flesh, then that is pride. But if the source of exaltation is God, then it is humility, that whose timing, whose due time has come to be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. He says, listen, this has become not about God. This has become about who are we straining, how much difficult extra biblical things that we can put on people before they can get into heaven. And he says, you don't even go in yourself. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, ye devour widows' houses. You're taking money from widows. For money, you make long prayer. You have favoritism. You're going to receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one convert. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. This is a weighty rebuke that now money is the motivator for ministry. It's about who can pay me, what's the salary, how much that's going to determine where I go. It's not about what God wants from me. It's not about my obedience to God. It's all about the dollar. And the scripture states that money answers all things, but it says it answers all things. It doesn't mean it's the right answer. It is an answer. It will have an answer for everything, but it doesn't mean it's the right answer. And the motivating factor is money. And when the money is the motivating factor, that's where you start having church without God, where we can have buildings, where we can have programs, where we can have all of this. The only issue is God won't be there. And if God won't be there, then there's no point in having church if God is not there. If his word is not being at the center of attention, if our hearts are not aligned with his, these Pharisees were being hypocrites. They were saying the right things, but in the shadows, they were doing the wrong things. In front of people, they look holy and powerful, but behind the scenes, they are conspiring to destroy Jesus. And while they're talking about that the life of the flesh is in the blood and honoring and respecting one another, they were behind the scenes trying to destroy the Messiah. And Jesus rebuked this behavior. Said, you go compass sea and land to make one convert. It's tough for you to even grow your synagogues because of all the extra biblical traditions that you are enforcing upon the people. And because of this, he says, you're keeping people out of heaven. And he says, and you're not even going into heaven. So you're going to receive the greater damnation. Jesus is saying this out of anger, out of love, out of sorrow, and out of grief. And I understand in the 21st century, this type of language can be considered like, oh man, Jesus must hate. No, remember, God is love. And out of love, Jesus never stops being love while he's issuing these rebukes. He never stops being love while he is issuing these rebukes. These rebukes are out of love. He's saying you have to make a correction. You have to make a correction. There has to be repentance. And that's the beautiful thing about all of this. All of this can be avoided, Jerusalem, if there is some repentance. With repentance, you can have a new beginning. Would say, I'm sorry, I'm turning from these wicked ways. You can have a new beginning. But they refuse to. They're full of themselves. They're full of the flesh. They have taken pride and spiritual pride and who they are and what they are. And they are missing the weightier matters. He says, woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. He's saying, listen, you're making these delineations that aren't even in the book. about the altar and the altar and the gift and the temple. And you're making these delineations on what's more important in the temple, in the tabernacle, in the things of God, that if this person does this, this is awesome. If this person doesn't do this, and it becomes a big performance. This is the quickest way to have church without God. When we are living in hypocrisy, when it's about how we're seen, when it's about, did I get my solo? Did I get to preach? When it's about, did I get the best seat in the house? When it's about the money, you can't serve God in money. These are the quickest ways to make God withdraw his presence from a congregation and from a church, when it's just all talk. And I'm going to tell you, this generation loses respect with people that just talk about it but won't be about it. That say all the right things but don't live the right. People get tired of talking about revival when they're not doing the actions of revival. People get tired of talking about it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, but there's no actions to ensure we're in alignment to make it happen. It's the quickest way for God to withdraw from a place. These people could draw nigh to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that I'm living right. That I'm not just saying the right things. I'm not saying I surrender all, but I'm actually surrendering all. And we see these rebukes heat up, and we're going to talk about it in the next lesson. This would be, for me to read all of Matthew 23, it would be just too deep and too strong and too powerful. So I got to break it up into two lessons. But don't worry, things are going to get better. It's the crucifixion's coming, but the resurrection's coming. But these are important things that we can learn from with these scribes and Pharisees to ensure that we keep church about him and not anything else. I think one of the challenging things as we grow older is to make sure we keep the basics the basics. He said, if you want to enter into the kingdom, you must become as a little child. It's the basics of I'm coming to communicate with Dad. And Dad's influence is going to change me and change my situation. That's what church is. It's going to change me inwardly and outwardly. Let's make a commitment that we're not going to do church without God. Join us in our next lesson. Become a subscriber on Apple and on Spotify. Go get the book, A Word to the Abused. Book two of the Word to the Broken series. Word to the Broken series. If you haven't gotten the first book, go get that. Thank you so much for joining us. We got some exciting news coming. God bless. Thank you so much for listening. For more information, you can follow my social media page, Victor M. Jackson, or you could come visit us in Orlando, Florida at Bible Center of Orlando. Thank you for joining us. God bless.